Red FM.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the next hour. A big thanks as always to Sinead for keeping us company all the afternoon. I have got lots of Gaelic games for you on the show this evening, as well as Formula One athletics, plus a chat with Callum Walsh and his camp before his big homecoming fight next Friday night. Let's get into it, shall we? Starting with Gaelic Games, where there was a huge day across the county as the group stages of the McCarthy Insurance Football Championships came to a close. In the Senior A Championship, Carrigaline earned a 2-point win against Kilnamatra, and Doheny's came away 9-point winners over O'Donovan Rossa. Elsewhere, Kanturk beat Fermoy, Knocknagree were winners over Bishopstown, and Newmarket beat Clyde Rovers. The final round of games in the Premier Senior Football Championship also took place today. In Group 1, Tabletoppers Nemo Rangers beat Noosestown, while second place Ballincollig won their clash with Éire Óg. In Group 2, Castlehaven are already through and made a 3 wins from 3 against Carbery Rangers, while St Michael's lost out to Clonakilty. And in Group 3, Mallow fell to Douglas and Valley Rovers suffered a heavy loss to the Bars. To the Premier League now, where there are 2 games down for a decision today. At full time in the North London Derby, it was Arsenal who emerged victorious against Tottenham Hotspur by 1-0. Ryan Bromelow has the full-time report from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Full-time, Spurs 0, Arsenal 1. A flash raid at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as a depleted Arsenal 11 emerged with all 3 points. They weathered many a Spurs storm and took their chance on the 64th minute mark. Gabriel with a priceless finish from close quarters after Saka delivered the corner from the right. A statement win, a proud win for Arsenal, who persevere without the presence of Ødegaard and Rice. They close the gap on City to 2 points. It's now just 1-4 for Spurs. Final score, Tottenham 0, Arsenal 1.
In the second game of the day, after 73 minutes played between Wolves and Newcastle, it is 1-0 to Wolves at Molyneux. In golf, Rory McIlroy has agonisingly missed out on victory at the Irish Open at Royal County Down. The Northern Irishman led for most of the day before a brilliant finish by Rasmus Højgaard gave the Norwegian the win. 23-year-old Højgaard takes the victory on 9-under par, with McIlroy back on 8-under. Offaly man Shane Lowry finished with a 3-under round of 68 to leave himself at 1-under all round. Waterford's Seamus Power finished up on 1-over par for the week, while Tom McKibben ended up on 2-over, and teenager Sean Keating ended up on 13-over. Finally, it was a dramatic finish at the Baku Grand Prix today, with Carlos Sainz and Sergio Perez taking each other out on the final lap of the race. Oscar Piastri took the victory, followed by Ferrari's Charles Leclerc in P2, and a surprise podium for George Russell in third. Let's kick things off with a quick rewind, first of all, to last night's McCarthy Insurance Premier Intermediate Football Championship game between Rochchapel and Castletown Bear. The final score there was a draw, with the teams each on 10 points, but it is Rochchapel who will progress to the knockout stages of the competition, as they only needed a draw where Castletown Bear were in need of a win. Ger McCarthy was pitch side. Here he is with the full-time report.
Rochchapel 10 points, Castletown Bear 10 points. A draw was enough to earn Rochchapel a place in the McCarthy Insurance Group Premier Intermediate Football Championship quarter-finals, but only after holding off a ferocious Castletown Bear comeback. Leading 9 points to 3 early in the second period, the Duhallow club looked set for the most straightforward of victories. Instead, having wasted a plethora of scoring opportunities, it was Castletown Bear who roused themselves during an adrenaline-fuelled closing quarter. Utilising Fintan Finner and Gary Murphy's free-taking accuracy, the Bears' side moved within a point of their opponents. Finner nervously levelled matters from a free deep into injury time, but it proved too little, too late. It was Rochchapel who held on for the draw they knew would be enough on scoring difference to finish ahead of Castletown Bear and secure a Premier Intermediate Football Championship quarter-final meeting with Naoimh Avon. Final score from Kilnamatra, Rochchapel 10 points, Castletown Bear 10 points. For the Big Red Bench, I'm Ger McCarthy.
And after the game, Durr spoke to Rochchapel manager Brendan Cahill.
Brendan Cahill, congratulations. A 10-point draw tonight here in Killamacher with Castletown Bear. You're through to the knockout stages. Firstly, how proud are you of that achievement?
Sure, it was unbelievable. I suppose, first of all, Castletown Bear had a couple of hard weeks, and we said no deepest sympathies to them. We knew coming down here, look, it was going to be a tough battle. Castletown Bear will never give up. And it didn't too many times, you can say it, but we were up a point before we started, you know. And we knew to come down to this, we knew to come down to the last kick of the game, and that's what happened. That's the way it happened, like, you know. And we've had a couple of injuries there the last couple of weeks since the Kilchani game. But look, we regrouped, and look, just delighted for the group of players. They're a great bunch, and look, delighted for them, really.
Yeah, a draw isn't the way you wouldn't have wanted to have done it, but look, you've done it, and that's all that matters now. Yeah. What kind of boost is this going to give the lads? Because holding out there towards the end, I mean, it took a lot of guts. You were up against it, having been in control for long stretches of it, like, but you got the job done.
We did. We see Castletown Bear against McCroom, and it was really in the last 10 minutes they won that game. So, like, we knew it. We knew it was going to come down to the last kick of the game. Like, that was just the way we trained the last 2 weeks for it. That's the way we prepared for it. And look, we're just delighted. We're just delighted to get out here and be in the next round anyway. Yeah.
How worried were you there towards the end? Because you were in control at half time. You played them, you'd held them basically to a point or two in that first half. Fantastic performance. What happened?
I just think Castletown Bear up their game in the second half, like, and they came at us in droves. Our defence held out for as long as they could, I suppose, and when Castletown Bear got their chances, look, they have clinical forwards, we know that, and when they got their chances, they took them, and inevitably that's what it came down to. Look, if we went off another minute or two, who knows, you know.
Considering how tight this championship is, and you know only too well, this kind of performance, this kind of the last boost that you've got coming out of such a tough group at McCroom and Kilshannig, like, you're well set up to have a cut off in the knockout stages. Is that how you're just going to approach it now?
Exactly, yeah. Look, we've a lot of dual players in the club. They play Hull Reaping Wheeling and football at Chapel, and they've had a busy schedule there the last couple of weeks, and I suppose from now on, look, Wheeling were knocked out last weekend, so we'll be concentrating on football now probably from now on, and look, I suppose from now on we'll just be going for it. That's it.
Excellent stuff. All the best to you, and thanks for that.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
And Ger also got the thoughts of Castletown Bears manager Ian Murphy.
Okay, Ian, a 10 points all draw, not enough for Castletown Bear, unfortunately, but the manner in which you fought back in the second half must give you immense pride.
Nice, but yeah, but we were just, I suppose it took us a while to get going the first half. I suppose we didn't get going, but at half time, we came back into the game well. Yeah, we had our opportunities in the first half, we didn't take them. But look, they absolutely, you know, did everything they possibly could to win the game, and Jesus, I suppose we just came up short in the end. You know, ball dropped short, and ball broke around the square. They got it, we didn't. A few breaking balls here and there, but that's sport.
Yeah, you kicked five consecutive boys there in the first half and you were on top, and that really was the changing of it for you, was it?
It was, yeah. I suppose, look, maybe, you know, this team have been through a lot last year. They've got playing Division 2 football next year, which is a big achievement for them, but sure, look, that's sport. Yeah, we're a tough old badgers West Orway. We'll regroup, we'll regather, and we'll see where it gets us.
It's such a tough grade, you know well, and there's very little between any of the teams. You got to play Kilchannig, you got to play McCroom in this group. It was a tough group from the start, but the manner in which you were fighting right up until the very end, how much hope along we're going up to Division 2, does that give you going into the championship next year?
Yeah, once we can keep the group together, we'll be fine. Yeah. You know, that's all is look, we've filled in England, we've filled in Cork, as you know, filled travelling all over, college and everything. Yeah, sure, look, it's a challenge, but sure, look, it's a challenge we enjoy. Yeah, we look forward to next year, and we lost ourselves down. I suppose we've a better taste in our mouth this year than last year, I suppose, you know what I mean? Yeah, look, we were beaten the first day out against Kilshannig, yeah. We were crippled with injuries. We got a good result against McCroom, and I suppose, look, we nearly got a great result today. So let's sport. The boys are desperately disappointed, but they wore the jersey with pride and they gave it everything.
Minute silence for the game for the late Dave Fenton, and how important he was, not just to the club but to the area. It's been a difficult build up off the pitch for you, but you did his memory pro this evening, I would say.
Yeah, as you all know, Dave was 40 when he was our keeper. You know, he was a massive influence on that team. He was a massive influence since he joined Castletown in 2009. 15 long years playing with us. Great guy, great character, massive character in the dressing room. His leadership is, you know, missed here today. Yeah, we had a tough 3 weeks, but look, we have to dust ourselves down, and, you know, we have to move on. And unfortunately, but yeah, the boys, Dave Pro there today, if Dave was there, he'd be driving us on as best he could.
Certainly would. Thanks, William. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, so that was last night, but as you heard in the roundup at the top of the show, we've had tons of games happening across Cork today as the end of the group stages in the McCarthy Insurance Football Championships has been happening around the county, and we've got reaction from a couple of those for you now. The Echo's Dennis Hurley was pitch side for the match between Clonakilty and St Michael's. Clonakilty enjoyed a comfortable 2-18-1-6 win with the help of first half goals from Dara Goff and Maurice Shanley. Connor Daly also finished the game with 7 points, and afterwards Dennis got the reaction of Clonakilty selector Owen Ryan.
Yeah. Look, I suppose, you know, the big thing was we wanted a performance, and in fairness they gave us that today. We didn't perform all along, but since the last game we really worked hard, you know, and training has gone very well. We played a challenge game, went very well, and you know, we came in here today and we're quite confident in ourselves and our own ability, and I think we delivered, so we're delighted with it.
Like, you got on top early and yeah. You just stayed on top,
stayed on top, yeah, and we, I suppose the last game, like, we got on top and we kind of came off it a bit. We insisted that they stay at it today and stay at it and stay at it and keep driving on, and they did. No way, they might have snapped off a bit of tea in there, but
yeah,
they really did like to the most.
Even in the second half, I think you'd never worry until the 54th minute.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, just a real sign of,
yeah.
I suppose, scoring difference wasn't going to come into it, but just for down the line.
It could have, like, you know, if Ross had beaten the Haven,
yeah.
Scoring difference could have come into it. But look, it's important to put up a big score. You know, it's important for our own lads' confidence to put up a big score. And, you know, like I said, I think they'd deliver today, in fairness.
Yeah, because, like, there's kind of a perception that Clan have a lot of good defenders and can't get the goals and points. Like, like you say, to kind of give that the lie, I suppose.
I suppose, you know, there's a lot of talk about us with this and we're that and we're everything.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're down every night at the pitch and see what these fellas do, I don't think you can really decide what they are.
I'd say people looking into it, was a fairly complete performance from 1-15 of
absolutely,
the guys that came in.
Yeah, overall, yeah. Even everyone that came in, the whole lot of them, you know, we're delighted with them.
You had a couple of injuries, went off there.
Ross got injured, and Sean was kind of sick as well, Sean White, you know, so, you know, he was built in stomach thing, so he said, we've got to change it, sure. Look, in fairness, Brian came in, Niall came in, and, you know, they did well. Fergal came in as well, they did well as well, like.
Now, we also had Ger McCarthy at today's match between Castlehaven and Carbery Rangers. Castlehaven were the winners from that game, and Ger spoke to both managers afterwards. First up, we'll hear from Seanie Cahalan of Castlehaven and then from Carbery Rangers manager Seamus Hayes.
Seanie Cahalan, 14 points to 9 victory over your West Cork rivals Carbery Rangers. Is it a case of coming here today and getting the job done?
I think so, we were focusing on just trying to get over the line, get the win, simple as that. I suppose our performance today wasn't hectic, but it was all about just getting the win today. We knew we weren't going to get anything easy against Carbery Rangers, so, and panned out that way.
Did the fact that you had that cushion of already having qualified, I mean, I know your players are still determined, they want to be the West Cork rival, they want to win every game they play, but coming into it, you know, that cushion, maybe, did that affect players?
It might have. I just thought we were a bit flat today in everything we did. It was just we lacked a bit of energy at times, and it might have been that factor, but it's hard to know.
It's such a difficult championship, it's so tight. To win 3 out of 3 and go into the, we think you're into the semi-finals, we're pretty sure that, we're not 100% certain as we speak, but I mean, at the start of the year when you took over the job, I mean, that would have been the ultimate goal at this point.
Yeah, 100%. Look, we're delighted. As I said, every game you play and you want to go out and win, and we were delighted with the first 3 games. We take it game by game, and we have done that, and if it's a semi-final up next, so be it, and we'll be preparing for that.
Michael Hurley didn't start today, but he came on. Was that just precaution?
Yeah, he's been just carrying a small niggle in his leg, so hopefully now in the next couple of weeks he'll clear that up, and we have a few more niggles and stuff as well, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks they'll all clear up.
Damien coming off as well, was that just a precaution?
Just a precaution, yeah, he was just a bit tight. Look, he's a lot of mileage on the clock this year so far, so you just have to mind him.
And finally, just from your own point of view, you've had 3 difficult tests, you've come through those 3 tests, as you know, mightn't have been ideal for you, but from you and your management team's point of view, you've gotten the win, you're into the semi-finals, but you've things to work on, so is that about as good as you could ask?
Yeah, exactly. We look back at the video now today, and we have a lot of stuff to work on, which is good, so we're delighted that we have stuff to work on, and whoever we play in the semi-final, we know it won't get anything easy in the county semi-final.
Congrats, Johnny.
Super.
All right, Seamus, obvious disappointment. Did you leave yourself too much to do in that second half?
I think it was obviously a huge hole at half time. Ford and Dunfermline were far too much room really to, you know, kick good scores, in fairness to them. There were some top quality scores from real quality players, but I wouldn't think, you know, I was obviously holding, as I said, but I don't think we left ourselves too much. I thought we had a lot of chances in the second half. Probably two good goal chances, which one of it they went in might have just given us a bit more momentum. But yeah, look, it was asking a lot to come back from, you know, that deficit at, in the second half against a quality team like Dunfermline.
Changes you made had the desired effect. There was a bit of impetus, there was a bit of zip about the team in that second period, but ultimately, as you said, it just wasn't enough. You got to pick yourselves up now. This is obviously hurting, and this will hurt for a small bit, but you've got to pick yourselves up and turn things around.
Yeah, and you know, I think just, you know, the lads that came in fairness, we were hoping that we'd be in a position with 20 minutes to go that the game would be tighter and they would come in and make that difference, you know, which they did in fairness. In terms of pick yourselves up, absolutely. You know, a huge game in, I think it's 2 weeks' time now against Darrow, obviously, so they don't get to, you know, reflect and feel sorry for yourself for too long, you know. We have no choice now but to get back up. And look, the lads have shown character. I think even the second half they did it there, brought the fight to Castlehaven again. And, you know, I know that they'll be up for it again once we got back training on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Thanks very much, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Formula One now, because it was a very dramatic end to the Baku Grand Prix this afternoon, wasn't it? That incredible crash between Carlos Sainz and Checo Perez, taking them both out on that last lap, which of course allowed Oscar Piastri and Charles Leclerc to pull away and take the checkered flag, but also promoted George Russell to a third place that I think he certainly would not have been expecting. And, you know, despite McLaren saying earlier on this week that essentially Papaya Rules was going in the bin and Lando Norris was the number one driver for the remainder of 2024, it was actually Lando Norris who ended up playing the team game today during that first round of pit stops by holding up Sergio Perez. Now, he was on a completely split strategy from Oscar, and he had qualified way out of position after being hard done by on Saturday by a premature yellow flag. But all the same, Norris held up Perez to try and help his teammate avoid being undercut by the Red Bull driver, and they were successful in doing that because Piastri came back out of the pits. And look, he was on a new cold set of hard compound tyres, but he managed to stay ahead of Sergio Perez. He then overtook Charles Leclerc on lap 20, and the two really battled it out, which brought Perez back within DRS range in P3. And at that point, pretty much from there on, all three drivers were pushing to the absolute max. There was nothing to give away whatsoever, and Piastri was setting fastest lap times at the front of the pack and looking very confident, it has to be said, despite the pressure being applied to him by Leclerc and Perez behind. It did look for a little while like he may have pushed his tyres a bit too far, because Leclerc did have a couple of opportunities to pass him, but Piastri dug deep, kept the Ferrari at bay, and they at that point started to leave a gap back to Sergio Perez in P3. We were all kind of wondering, is he doing this to save his tyres and then he's going to make a final dash closer to the end of the race? But in the end, it was actually Charles Leclerc's rear tyres that had hit the cliff by lap 48, and he was unable to defend himself from Perez, who had closed that gap where now Oscar Piastri was building a gap in the lead, which you have to say again was extremely well earned. I mean, Ferrari even tried to outfox the McLaren pit wall. They were over the radio to Charles suggesting different strategies they might go for, etc., and he was playing the game. But at the end of the day, McLaren stuck to their guns, they didn't budge. And it was quite funny, Piastri came over the radio at the end saying that was probably the most stressful afternoon of my life, but he said it in a voice that was so relaxed and so chill, which is very Oscar Piastri thing to do. So certainly a well-earned win for him, and no questions about that, which thankfully will hopefully put to bed the questions that were around his first win earlier this season, and of course the role that Norris played in that as well. Speaking of Norris, he was in the crosshairs of his biggest drivers' championship title rival Max Verstappen, and he fought hard to defend from the Red Bull, but it's an ailing Red Bull. You know, Sergio Perez looked great around Baku this weekend. He has some sort of magic connection with that track where he just drives out of his skin, and I think probably outdrove the car, which is, you know, not something that we say very often talking about Perez. But certainly Max Verstappen, he was complaining again about not having enough bite and enough grip out of his car, and he did struggle. Ultimately, Lando Norris got the pass done on Verstappen on lap 49 to take P6, which I think will have been a very tough pill for Verstappen to swallow. He's not used to, firstly, finishing that far back, and not used, secondly, to being overtaken without being able to put up a bit of a fight. So it was interesting to see that. I think, again, great to see so many different teams involved, even though, you know, George Russell was a bit fortuitous in getting that podium. He still had to drive well in that second half of the race to be there to take advantage and get that third place podium. I do want to give a couple of honourable mentions. I was very impressed with Franco Colapinto this weekend. He's in a tough position because he's got that second seat at Williams for the remainder of this season, but it will ultimately be taken by Carlos Sainz from 2025 onwards. And so he's sort of auditioning for an invisible future seat that may or may not appear, and that is tough. But this weekend, especially both in qualifying and in the race, he has given certainly a great account of himself, and hopefully that will stand him going forward. And the final result meant that both Williams cars scored solid points, not just points, but solid points, as did Ollie Bearman. The young Brit was standing in for Kevin Magnussen, who was serving his one race ban. But Bearman looked to have decent pace. He acquitted himself well again in the Haas on Saturday and Sunday. He held off Lewis Hamilton for quite a while. He, you know, Hamilton had to make that pass happen after a long fought battle between them. And it's good for him to get more race action under his belt in that car as well before taking it on in full time capacity from 2025. There was, of course, a huge headline during the week with the announcement that Adrian Newey has decided where he is going to go when he officially finishes up with Red Bull Racing. He's ended up at Aston Martin, and it's hard not to think, despite the fact that he must have been earning incredible wages at Red Bull over the last, you know, decade plus, it's hard not to think that there was a bit of a money game played here, because Aston Martin are way just out of what you would expect him to go for. So it may be a project that he thinks that he can massively improve. He's absolutely, I don't think anyone would doubt his ability to do that. However, he can't change the driver lineup, and Lance Stroll is going to be there for who knows how long more. And I think now that Adrian Newey has signed that contract, I don't see Fernando Alonso going anywhere anytime soon either. He's absolutely going to want to work closely with Newey and drive an Adrian Newey car that he feels he'll be able to get better results with. So who knows? Fernando Alonso may be the first driver to be 50 years of age driving in a Grand Prix. I honestly would not rule it out. I argue against it usually when there's younger drivers that are missing out on getting a start in their career. But with Fernando Alonso, it's just, you give him a good car and he will pull out a performance, as we've seen. At one point, we thought last year that they were going to be the biggest competitors against Red Bull. So it's certainly an interesting decision from Adrian Newey. I have to think, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. I have to think that he sees the potential there, and he sees the fact that Lawrence Stroll is in a position to funnel an awful lot of resources into that team to essentially give Newey whatever he needs to build an excellent race car. So look, time will tell, but in the meantime, Baku does mark the final European race weekend on the 2024 calendar. And next up, Formula One is headed to my favourite night race location of the year, Singapore. That race will be happening next Sunday, September 22nd. So hopefully I'll have time to review that on next week's show. We are going to talk about athletics now, because earlier today I spoke to Trevor Cummins about the school's cross country event that is taking place this coming Tuesday at Fota House. He told me all about it and about how he initially got his start in running as well. Trevor, you are very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are things?
Thanks, Sarah. Yeah, it's great to be on with you, and excited about our big event in Fota House on Tuesday, where we have a big day of cross country in store.
Yeah, tell me more. Obviously, you're just 2 days out from the cross country challenge. I suppose just maybe even from the start, how did this come about?
Yeah, so the Vodafone Cross Country Challenge is on this Tuesday, where we are building on a project that we began in the early part of the year in Kilkenny Court. So we would have brought all of the six local national schools in our area on the Great Island together for a big cross-country event. We had about 250 children running, and it was a big success, and we decided, you know, that we could, I suppose, spread the message of athletics and bring more kids in. And we got a really warm response when we put the word out to the schools after the summer holidays, and we're now anticipating 14 schools on Tuesday and just shy of 500 children getting to experience the fun and enjoyment that comes with a day of cross country.
Wow, yeah, that's brilliant numbers. How long have you been involved in cross-country running yourself?
Yeah, I suppose I took up running about 10 years ago myself. And while I probably have a preference for marathon running, the cross-country is something that I really enjoy as well. Don't get to do as much of it as I'd like, because generally when you're focusing on a marathon, you're pretty much committed to that, and the opportunities to run cross-country then are a little bit fewer and far between. But going along in a supporting role, whether it's with my my two boys who enjoy it, or maybe coaching some of the youngsters that we're lucky to look after, it's always a really fun day, you know.
Yeah, and what do you see as the biggest benefits for kids that do get involved? You mentioned there you've got a number of schools, and they seemed pretty enthusiastic to have the kids involved, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose the low barrier for entry to athletics, and specifically running, is something that is such a positive. People can just turn up literally to the start line. They don't need to have done a huge amount of training in advance. Obviously, if they are active and they're doing an amount of training, they'll probably be, you know, better suited. But at the same time, there's a starting point for everybody, and that's the start line. Get them out there and get running. And I always think, you know, there's a huge amount of transfer for kids, especially from, you know, sticking at something that's a little bit challenging. You're outside in the elements, you know, you probably feel at times that this is getting tough and maybe I could stop, but I suppose a bit like in life, you just got to keep pushing on even when it's tough and keep going. And you know what we're trying to, I suppose, capture on Tuesday is like that supportive atmosphere. So we'll have lots of music, lots of enthusiasm from the crowd, and just geeing people up and making them feel, I suppose, special for that few minutes that they're out in the course. It's almost trying to create the idea it's their Olympics, if you like, you know, and a special moment that they look back on, and hopefully then as a result may take up an interest and get running with their local athletics club perhaps, and could possibly fulfill, like, I suppose, a lifetime of involvement in the sport if we're doing our job as coaches.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been so much progress for Irish athletes, both in track and field, you know, on the biggest stages, particularly in the last 12 months. Are you kind of seeing that filter down into the level of interest from kids that are getting involved in running generally now?
I think so, Sarah. Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. You know, the exploits of our international athletes and the levels they're reaching over the last number of years, you know, it's no doubt having a positive influence on the interest levels. You know, boys and girls can see the likes of Adeleke and Sarah Lavin and Sophie O'Sullivan's and Nick Griggs and the likes, and I suppose Kira McGeehan's, and there's, you know, you could be naming the brilliant Irish athletes we have cows come home. But ultimately for children, they can see, I suppose, a pathway that could potentially bring them to somewhere special in the sport in future. And when you have that inspiration, I suppose, so close at hand and wearing a green shirt, that is hugely inspiring, you know.
For sure. And we obviously need that next generation coming through as well to keep that progress going. And if folks are interested in finding out a bit more info about it, even as you said, just going along to support everyone that's going to be taking part, what would be the best place for them to go for info on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so if they have a look at Train with Trevor, social media, we'll be able to share all the information with them regarding Tuesday. We have a fantastic schedule of races starting from 10:30, running through until probably around about lunchtime. Vodafone House is a fantastic setting. It's perfect for cross-country running, and we've got huge support from our sponsors as well, which I should make sure to mention, because we're being kindly supported by our headline sponsor, GXP Recruitment, and we also have been kindly supported by Bella Vista Hotel in Cove, Garvey's Super Value in Cove, and Kuskinny Court also, who, you know, without local sponsors like that, we wouldn't be able to put on the great day that we have planned for the kids. So if you're around on Tuesday, definitely it's the place to be. You can get there on the train, or you can drive, and we'll welcome everybody open arms, cheering on the kids, having a really good fun day of sport. That's what it's about.
Fantastic. Well, look, very best of luck for Tuesday to yourself, Trevor, and obviously all the competitors as well. And thanks so much for coming on to the Big Red Bench today.
Brilliant, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
The Big Red Bench.
With Ford Gosh Energy.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork, good times.
Red FM.
You are very welcome back to the second half of the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I have got a full-time score for you from that second Premier League game of the day between Wolves and Newcastle. It's finished 2-1 to Newcastle, who did a 180 in the second half, and Frank Watson has the full-time report.
It finished at Molineux. Wolves 1, Newcastle 2. Newcastle up to third after a second half comeback crowned by beautifully struck goals from Fabian Schär and substitute Harvey Barnes. The visitors had the better of the first half hour, and the bright Anthony Gordon struck a post, but Wolves grew into the game, and either side of the break were dominant. Mario Lemina put them ahead on 35 minutes after good work down the right by Strand Larsen, and hit the post through the big Norwegian himself early in the second half. But then came the stunning Newcastle double strike. Two goals from outside the box in the space of 4 minutes, and try as they might, Wolves could find no way back. They remain 18th on 1 point. It finished Wolves 1, Newcastle 2.
Okay, we are going to move on to boxing now, because Cork's own Callum Walsh fights on Irish soil for the first time in his professional career this coming Friday night. The Cove native takes on Premislav Ranowski at the Three Arena in Dublin. And if you can't make it to Dublin on Friday, the fight will be broadcast on UFC Fight Pass as well. Ranowski is 22-2 with 6 knockouts and has lost just once in the last 5 years. But Callum was down at Riverstown Boxing Club in Glanmire this morning, which is his former club, and with him was his trainer, the legendary Freddie Roach, a man who has coached Manny Pacquiao, Steve Collins, UFC legend George St. Pierre, among many others. And our own Rory O'Hagan was there this morning at Riverstown and got a chance to chat with Callum.
Callum, nice to meet you in person finally.
Yeah, finally. After how many, 5 years?
It's been a while, all right, hasn't it? Now, how good has it been back, I suppose, here where it all began, I guess?
Yeah, you know, it's a joy to be back here, especially being here in Riverstone Boxing Club. You know, this is where it all started for me. You know, I've been boxing here since I was 11 years old, and now to come back here with Freddie Roach, you know, even just having Freddie here with the kids and everything, it's crazy. You know, I'm just watching them, and they don't even know how good that is. You know, some of them, like him there, he's ungrateful, little small fella. And, yeah, no, it's crazy, though. Like, have Freddie Roach here, it's crazy.
It's genuinely incredible. Just, I got a photograph of him running like a little child next to him. You must be used to that now. Do you still get like, not just Freddie Roach on the pads for me?
Yeah, you know, being over in LA and stuff, I'm used to it all along, but when you come back here and now when I'm seeing this, like, you know, it's crazy. Now I'm starting to see it again. You know, it's like seeing it again for the first time, because it's all new, you know, being back here in my home gym with Freddie. It is crazy, you know, it's hard to believe, really.
Do you remember the first time you came through the doors here?
Yeah, but it wasn't here, it was over at another place.
But
it's crazy. I've been here a long time. You know, this is, like you said, where it all started, and to be back here is it's a job.
Now your nan's here as well. Your nan used to drop you down to train.
Yeah, my nan used to drive me here to train, and I drove myself here another day, so not too bad.
What's it like being back, I suppose, here at home in Fight Week?
Yeah, you know, the thing was, that's why I wanted to get back down to Cork. You know, I wanted, because I'm fighting in Dublin, you know, and obviously being from Cork, I wanted to come down here and give the respect to the people from Cork, you know, that I am from Cork and I'm here for the people of Cork, you know, and I'm representing Cork, you know, even at fighting in Dublin. You know, I'm representing Ireland, but I'm from Cork, you know, and I felt bad, you know, having a fight there and not doing stuff in Cork, you know, for the Cork people. So hopefully maybe next year we can get a fight in Cork, whatever, but for now, you know, this is it, you know, we'll bring the Cork crowd up to Dublin.
I just spoke to Tom about you, the prospect of you fighting in Cork, and he goes, oh, I'm well aware I can't imagine the fight in Cork.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're annoying him, I'd say, especially at this stage.
Someone actually told me next next year is the 30-year anniversary for the Steve Collins fight that was in Cork with Freddie.
Yeah.
You know, so imagine coming back to Cork next year with Freddie for that 30-year
Steve Collins in your corner as well. Wouldn't be bad, would it? To see the kids here, like, you mentioned them being in the ring with Freddie doing pads and stuff, but for them to see you coming back, professional fighter, unbeaten, Freddie Roach in your corner, it goes to show them, I suppose, that if you can do it, they can do it too.
Yeah, that's what it's all about for me, you know. That is a big thing for me, showing people that, like, anyone can do it. You know, it doesn't matter where you're from. Like, we're here in Cork, you know, I'm from Cove, it's a small town, you know. It doesn't matter how small of a place you're from, you know, you can go and do big things in the world, you know. And that's what I want to show these kids. Like, it could be any of them, you know, and there's a lot of them there that are very good. Like, I was watching a few of them hitting the pads and stuff, and there's a lot of potential here, you know, and they just have to stick with it, you know. That's the main thing. That's a big thing around boxing in Ireland, you know. In Ireland in general, but any sport, you know, they kind of fall off it when they're 16, 17 or whatever, and it just goes to show, you know, I'm the proof. If you stick with it and you follow your dreams and you want to do something, anyone can do it, you know.
I spoke to Brian Barry about you there a while ago, and he said he remembers you coming through the door, but he said you had something very special from, like, the get-go. He said he saw it in you. Like, I suppose when you hear that from someone like Brian, I suppose he's seen it all through the years, I suppose. I mean, like, what's that mean, I guess?
Yeah, no, it means a lot. I wouldn't be the fighter I am today without them, you know. I might have had a bit of talent or whatever, but you know, the coaches make you the fighter you are, and they give you that toughness, you know. It's a very tough gym here. They train every boxer very well, you know, and I think it's a good system they have here in Riverstown, and that's the reason I am the fighter I am today, is because of them, Teddy and Brian Barry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he said you were confident but you were never cocky, because he said if he got cocky, he would have brought you back down to earth very quickly.
Yeah, that's the thing about this gym too. There's no messing around in here. There's no fucking around in here. Yeah, they'll bring you back down fairly quick. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're here in Ireland for Fight Week. Obviously, your first time fighting in Ireland as a professional. A huge honour for you. I know it's in the Three Arena, but to have that hometown crowd in front of you. I know the crowds in New York have been hometown crowds anyway, but to fight in Dublin, Irish fans everywhere, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, New York was just like a step closer. You know, a step in the right direction. You know, I got the feel for the Irish crowd out there, and now having a fight in Dublin, you know, it's perfect. You know, and the Three Arena is the perfect place for it. You know, it's a big arena. It's right there in the capital, enough for everyone to come up, and everyone can get there. You know, there's no excuses. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. And it's a good card, too. The card is stacked. You know, so I'm looking forward to a very good night of fights. You know, with Dana White in the building, Freddie Roach, you know, Tom Laughlin, the team I'm bringing with me, and just all the fighters in general. I think we're going to have a very good night for Irish boxing.
And Arnofsky, the guy you're fighting on Friday, tough Paul comes forward. He can take a punch. He's going to be a tricky customer Friday night.
Yeah, you know, he can take a punch from other fellas. You know, maybe now we'll see if he can take one from me now on Friday night. We'll see. You know, I'm looking forward to a good test. I'm looking forward to making a big statement. You know, if I get in there and I get the finish, I think it'll be a good eye opener. You know, for the Irish people to realise that, right, Callum Walsh is the real deal. You know, he's not here to mess around. You know, this is not internet hype. You know, I'm here. I'm taking tough fights, and I'm looking for the finish.
Because you fought in America your entire professional career, do you feel like you get the recognition you deserve back here at home?
I think it's hard, you know, for people to see through the phone or through the telly. You know, it's when you're there in person and you can see the fight and you can see the fighter, and maybe people might meet me or whatever, you know, you talk to somebody. It's a lot different than when you actually know someone, you know, and I think that's the big thing for me about fighting back home. Like, I can come and meet people, people can see me in person, you know. It's hard to watch someone through the TV, you know, and try to follow them, you know, but once people see me here, though, I think it'll be a...
Being at home, though, is there more distractions, I suppose, leading up to the fight, or are you just cutting that off today and that's the end of it?
Betty.
You want to get on the camera there?
I wouldn't say... I would say there is distractions, obviously, you know, but I'm very focused and very committed to what I'm doing. You know I have one job to do, and that is win my fight on Friday night. You know, this could all go away just as quick as it all came around, you know, and I wouldn't say distractions. Yeah, I would say there's a lot going on, definitely. There's a lot of things to do, but it's all part of it, you know. And
I suppose everyone wants a piece of you when you're home as well, I guess.
Yeah, you know, but I'm enjoying it, you know. I'm enjoying every minute of it, and I can't wait till Friday night, you know, and I'll enjoy it even more then after that.
You also want to get a knockout on Friday night. Do you feel extra pressure going into that now, getting a knockout in front of your home fans, or does it matter?
No, you know, every fight I always look for the knockout, no matter what. You know, I'm trying to finish these opponents, so that's my job, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm not going to go in there and plan to fight 10 rounds. You know, I'm going to try to finish the fight as quick as I can and have a nice early night, you know, and head out after. But that's just my fighting style. No, I'm going in there to hurt you, and I'm trying to end the fight, and that's what I'm going to do. If it lasts 10 rounds, it's going to be 10 rounds of me trying to finish the fight, you know, and hopefully I do get to finish, and hopefully I can make a big statement there Friday night. Yeah.
Your last fight was 2 rounds. You feel more people starting to sit up now and take notice of Callum Walsh?
Yeah, I think they should. I think definitely after this fight Friday night, if I can get this fight over and done with and I can finish him, he's been in there with some names in my division that couldn't finish him, you know, so I feel like if I can, it'll be a big eye opener for everyone. Yeah.
Certainly will be, Callum. I'm not going to wish you luck, but you don't need it. Enjoy Friday night.
Thank you, appreciate it.
And while he was there, Rory also spoke to Callum's promoter, the legendary Tom Loeffler of 360 Promotions. Loeffler has promoted the Klitschko brothers and Gennady Golovkin, among plenty of others, and this is what he had to say about Callum.
Tom, I suppose this is what boxing is all about, like small clubs and returning hero coming back to inspire the next generation.
Oh, absolutely. That's really what it's about. Callum returning to his roots. This is my first time in Cork, and Freddie Roach, 29 years ago, was here with Stevie Collins when Stevie defended his world title. So everything kind of comes full circle. We appreciate the grassroots support and everyone from Cork coming up to Dublin on Friday night.
How have you found Cork so far?
Oh, well, we just got here, but it's good. It's a nice city, and I know Callum really appreciates being from this part of the country.
You can see how much Callum is adored here this morning by all the kids at the club.
Oh, absolutely. The kids love being in there. The kids are doing myths with Freddie Roach in there, so which is a huge honor for them to be with a Hall of Fame trainer like that.
That's going to be some memory for those kids to have that photograph, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. No, they love it in there, and Callum, he really, you can tell when he sees all the hometown support that he gets, it really gives him a lot of energy.
I've spoken to Callum quite a few times. It's always been important for him to fight at home. Has he been pestering you to fight back in Ireland?
Absolutely. No, he's been talking about it for a while now, and with Dana's support, you know, we were able to put the show together in the Three Arena. It's a big deal for Callum to come home to Ireland to make a defense of his WBC Continental Americas title. He's fighting a tough opponent from Poland, 22-2, Bernowski, so we're really looking forward to the show on Friday, and looking forward to all the fans support.
He's always wanted to fight in Cork as well. Is that something in his future?
He really wanted to fight in Cork, but we put the show together in Dublin this time, and maybe in the future, like with Stevie Collins, maybe in the future Callum will come back here and fight in Cork.
Exactly. You mentioned he's fighting Bronowski this Friday night. He is a tough opponent, 22-2, hasn't lost in 5 years. Tough pole, always comes forward. So Callum's going to have his hands full a little bit on Friday night.
Definitely have his hands full, but this is the type of fight he needs. If he's going to headline the Three Arena, headline UFC Fight Pass, he needs fights like this, quality opponents like this. He's only 11-0 with 9 knockouts, but he's on a well-advanced stage right now, training with Freddie Roach.
You guys are managing his trajectory very, very well. Are you happy with how his progress has gone?
No, absolutely. He learns with every fight. I think the last fight was his best performance, but those are the type of performances you need with a young 23-year-old boxer, but a strong southpaw, big puncher, and Freddie Roach really brings the best of his style out of him.
People often ask me, they say, is there a lot of pressure on Cam considering you're in his corner, Freddie's in his corner, Dana White is in his corner? I know the guy could crumble under that kind of pressure, but not Callum.
Callum loves it. Callum loves performing in the ring, performing in front of his fans, and displaying his talents. You know, he had such a storied amateur career. Now he's taken to the pros really well. He doesn't feel it as pressure. He feels it as inspiration to perform in the ring.
It's his first professional fight in Ireland. Do you think he's got the profile he deserves in Ireland at this stage, considering he's fought all his professional fights in America?
I think he does, because he's fought twice in New York City at Madison Square Garden at the theater. He's fought in Boston. He's fought in Los Angeles. So, you know, he's fought all over the place. Now, coming back to Ireland, it feels like it's the right timing. We've got a lot of support. We've got some great fighters on the undercard. Thomas Carty's on the show. We got a great Celtic title fight with Emmett Brennan and Cronin, Kevin Cronin. So, no, it's going to be a fun night for the fans.
It certainly will be. I've asked you this question before, but I'll ask you again. How far can Callum go in this sport?
Oh, I think at this age, the sky is the limit. I really think Callum's going to become a world champion. We're not going to rush him. At the same time, we got to put him in competitive fights. He's going to learn from every fight. But I really think within a year and a half, we can see him challenging for a world title.
Tom, a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Rory spoke with Riverstown coach Brian Barry. Brian was one of Callum's first coaches and was able to give insight into his beginnings in the sport.
Glad to be joined by Brian Barry here now outside Riverstown Boxing Club with Callum Walsh in attendance this morning. Brian, you must be incredibly proud of him.
Unbelievable, yeah, unbelievable. You know, since he was a kid, like, he's always shown the massive potential, you know, and he's grown and grown as he grew older and older, like, and this is no surprise to us.
Do you remember the first time he came through the doors?
Absolutely, yeah. He was with us for a short time, and then he went away, he went to another club for a while, did a bit of training there, and then he came back when he was the age, about 10, and then when he came in, like, we knew, special.
What's the note about him?
The skill and technique that he has, and he still possesses, like, that's you can't buy that. Mm. It's everything come natural to him. He didn't have to try hard. He never had to fight for it. It all just came flowing naturally all the time. It's fantastic.
It's kind of rare, I'd imagine. You see that, is it?
Yeah, it's rare to get a gym like that. Mm. It is, you know. I mean, it might sound a bit high-assed or whatever you want to call it, but we've had three or four come through here with that natural ability as well.
Yeah,
you know, where others had to work so hard to reach their potential, just came naturally to, especially to Callum and a couple of others as well, you know.
So you had him, I suppose, marked for greatness, I suppose, as soon as you saw him.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, and he found it tough for the first couple of years. He found it tough. I won't say, like, it wasn't his boxing, but just kind of under the monsters and that, trying to get over monsters, difficult. It's always difficult anyway. And then when he started winning the monsters, the national title started rolling, and it was better and better he was getting. But I think that few years, that couple of years when he was by 1-2, not winning the monster, stood to him because he made him wanted more.
Made him hungry, like.
Oh, absolutely, 100%, yeah.
And when he turned pro, then you're like thinking, right, he's got all the tools to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, he can turn his hand at anything. Like, he can fight, he can box. Oh, I was a class boxer, but he can fight, he can stand down and take fellas on. He's got the power now as well, you know. Like, to go over to Freddie Roach and tell him like this, you know, you have to look at me here, because that's what he'd done. Like, he had the balls to do that, and fair play to him for that, like.
Yeah.
And he had to impress him. He had to impress Freddie Roach inside, and he'd, like, you know, incredible.
One thing I've noticed about Callum is that he's confident, but he's not cocky.
No, that's right. We wouldn't allow it anyway. Even though he's gone from us and everything, he was brought up through the club that way. The confidence is there because he always had savage confidence in his own ability. But we always, and we didn't have to check him because he never went to step over the line. And I think that's David him into this, even as a pro boxer. No,
so even if he did get out of his boots, they're too big for his boots, he'd bring him back down.
Oh, get a barricade sort of there, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Do you think, I suppose, he gets the credit he deserves back at home for the career he's had so far?
I suppose it's hard for the Irish, you know, the Irish boxing people, like, to know about him. It's his first time back. Mm. They've seen him on television, they've seen him on the UFC Fight Pass. So I suppose when they see him up close and personal, I think that's when they grow to appreciate him even more.
Mm.
We were over there now, myself and a couple of other coaches in the club here, were over in New York last time, last October, I think, or something like that, and to see, look, do you know what? No, we never got so emotional about something, but to see him come into that ring inside Madison Square Garden, that was massive. And then we see how he grew and the size of him and everything inside the ring, and the maturity of him, the physicality of him, it was just smashing. And I think people, when they go to see him next Friday night, they'll see all that in abundance.
It's great for the guys in the club to see him here this morning, because it says to them, the young kids, that if Callum can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, the last couple of times he's been back, he's come in here to the club with the younger underage group and the championship boxers as well.
Mm.
And he's giving them tips, he's coaching them, he's telling them the right things to do, what not to do. And, like, he's an unbelievable role model. Mm. So every time he comes back, everyone is in awe of him. And no one now kind of says, like, who is he? They know him.
Mm.
You know, because he imposed, everyone, he imposed himself on him, but he made him know him straight away because of his, that maturity that he has, and he's able to communicate brilliantly with the kids as well. You know, because he's done all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's done all that. He went through all that himself. So he knows what he's passing on.
You got boxing royalty in here this morning as well. Freddie Roach walking through your doors.
Freddie Roach, I mean, who would have thought that, you know?
Tom Loughler. Yeah,
I know. And Tom Loughler as well, you know. And they're so grounded as well. They're lovely people. We met them in New York last year. And fantastic as well. And they're so, you know, welcoming and everything. They welcomed us to New York. We welcome here this morning to Glamoyle. Incredible.
It's a fantastic.
I mean, we would never know. You know, Jesus, no, yeah.
I'd imagine it's great. It's going to be a great photograph for the wall of the club, anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. I'd be running out of space now at this stage. Huh? I don't know where we're going to get the rest of them, because this fella's going to go on for years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah. I'd imagine there's a huge crowd of you going up
Friday night?
There is. There's a couple of busloads going up. They're all kind of fighting for places now at this stage. So we're kind of trying to fill a third one.
Yeah.
But we're probably in the middle of it at the moment, so we're kind of give out to anybody who's looking for space. We'll give it out to them. We had just three busloads. We have two busloads going up, two and a half.
Yeah.
So we try and fill the third one, and then there's another group of us, all the coaches are going up as well, and we'll have a good night Friday night afterwards.
And as I mentioned, the club here, it's been in Glamour for what, the last 10 years, I think?
This one here, we moved in 2015. Prior to that, we were in the community centre, we were in what was called the old courthouse in Riverstone, and then we moved around because we lost premises. So to get this place was a godsend, because previous to that, we were putting up and down our bags, we were putting up and down our ring.
Now,
to see our full time. And I think that point in 2015 that made us, that's when the champions started coming through. Callum winning a European junior, Emma Carter winning a junior. Walt Silver, Davy Roach, I think he went away to Russia and won a multinations there as well, you know what I mean? So it's when we had the proper permanent fixtures, that's when we got the results going proper, you know.
And you cared for kids all the way up to you?
All the way up, yeah. I did it. Just some small bodies in there now. They come in 6:30 and they start at around 6 or 7 years of age, you know. At the moment, now there's a waiting list there, and we're just kind of waiting to see when they come back to school. That's when we get them all in.
Yeah.
So anyone who doesn't come back in, we give space out in who's on the waiting list, and that's the way we have to operate, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we just can't. It's just too small for more than what we have, you know.
Brian, it's been a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy the Friday night.
Very, very big week indeed coming up for Callum Walsh and all of his supporters. But let's finish off the show this evening with some reaction from Rory McIlroy. As I mentioned in the roundup at the start of the show, he lost out by just one shot at the Amgen Irish Open this afternoon. He's been speaking to the Irish media, giving his initial reaction.
Yeah, felt like I was in control of the tournament for most of the day. Felt like I was playing really solid, doing what I needed to do, making a lot of pars, making the odd birdie. Then obviously the two bogeys on 15 and 17 opened the door for someone to have a good finish, like what Rasmus did there on the last few holes. So unfortunate. I played well this week. Missing the green right on 15 is the place that you can't go, and then just misjudged the speed with the first putt on 17. But overall, obviously really disappointed that I didn't win, but I'll try to take the positives and move on next week to Wentworth.
Rory, it's tough because it's just happened, but how emotional an experience is this for you, coming so close in your hometown?
I must say, I've never... that roar when I hit that second shot on 18 was pretty cool. With the support I got out there this week was absolutely amazing. I've had a great time being home. It's been too long. Need to keep coming back more often. From where I was at the start of the week and what I wanted to do, it's a step in the right direction. If anything, it just whets my appetite even more for Portrush next year.
Rory, on 17, obviously, the misjudgment of the pace of the putt, and yet you came out on 18, hit probably the drive of the week, hit probably the iron shot of the week, and maybe the putt of the week. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Talk me through just that period.
I saw... when I missed the second putt on 17, I saw that Rasmus had birdied and got to 9, so I knew what I needed to do on the 18th tee. Driver probably wasn't the shot, wasn't the play, because it brought those three bunkers into play, but I needed to try to make eagle, so I had to try to thread it through those bunkers, which I did. And then the 7 iron was... they're probably two of the best shots I've hit all week. And then I thought I hit the putt with good enough speed for it to sort of come down the hill a little more. It hung up there. Maybe the wind had a little bit to do with that coming out of the left. But, I guess I can take the positives. I hit the shots when I needed to, knowing that I needed to make a 3. And, unfortunately, the putt just slipped by.
Rory, I appreciate it's very raw at the minute, but can you appreciate the crowds, everybody out to see you, and everything that you've achieved overall in your career?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. The support that I get from... I'm very lucky. I get so much support when I come back, and I certainly don't take it for granted. I sort of had to try to keep my composure walking up to the 18th green there, but I... I did that as best as I could, and but yeah, it's wish I could play in front of that sort of, you know, those fans in this atmosphere every week. It isn't quite like that, but yeah, certainly appreciate all the support and can't wait to come back.
Is this the toughest part of being a sports person, just those near misses?
It is. I'm getting used to it, unfortunately, this year, but you know, hopefully the tide's going to turn here pretty soon, and you know, I can you know, turn all these close calls into victories.
Well done this week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the Sunday edition of the Big Red Bench. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the last hour. If you missed anything from the show this evening or you want to listen back, the podcast will be available shortly after I'm off air. In the meantime, though, don't go anywhere because Green on Red is up next with Mags Blackburn.
The Big Red Bench
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times, Red FM. The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.